Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is Tuesday, which means we're being joined by the one and only Justice Mosqueda. Find him on acmepackingcompany.com, on social media at JUMOSQ. Justice, wonderful to be chatting with you on the eve of cutdown day, the initial 53-man roster. How are you doing on this beautiful Monday as we're recording, Tuesday as people are listening to this?
I'm doing great. I got back home on Thursday and have kind of been playing catch up on all the 53 stuff and, you know, getting my roster projection out, getting the trackers up for, you know, what you guys are projecting the 53 to be, getting trackers up for cuts around the league, things I could potentially see the Packers doing moving forward. The Kennard stuff dropped last night. So I feel like I've just been kind of catching up until today, and now I'm finally getting the house in order so that my girlfriend, after being out of the apartment for 2 weeks, can come home to a clean spot and not yell at me. So,
well done.
That's the world I'm living in right now.
That's not a bad world to be living in. So let's start there. You've obviously been putting together the tracker for like what some of people's predictions are. We're going to kind of go through the roster and kind of go through some of these decisions, sort of do a pseudo 53, but kind of talk through some of the decisions and discussions. But what's been the wildest thing, or maybe the craziest prediction, just maybe some of the things that have been out there? Has it all been pretty straightforward so far?
Trying to find, I think Jersey Al had Lacetus Smith making the team, and that was post the Darian Kennard move.
Okay,
that's one like that sticks out. He's on an island on that one, so if he gets it right, make sure to shout him out. Two people thought Kobe wouldn't make it again. Jersey Al on an island with Rob Domofsky. So those are the big ones. Outside of that, I mean, for the most part, the roster debate is like, you know, if you think two guys are going on IR, which the Packers should use that to be able to control more contracts, you know, keep the spirit of Ted Thompson alive. If they're able to do that, then we're really arguing about like 10 guys for like 6 spots. That's really what it comes down to. And it's, you know, the 5th defensive tackle, 5th corner, 5th linebacker. You're going to have to keep one guy at each of those. So it's like, really, it's an either or at like 3 positions and then like 3 dealer's choice. Like that's sort of what you're dealing with this Packers roster right now. It's not too crazy, but you know, we did just make a trade, so anything can happen.
I want to start there too, before we dive too far and too deep into some of these position by position and what could happen, should happen, etc. Your initial kind of takeaway and thoughts on the Kennard trade, what it potentially changes with this roster along the offensive line and how he potentially fits in on this team.
I think it makes a lot of sense. You guys hear me talk about it draft season. Pay attention to the Packers visitors. Like the Packers aren't exactly secretive with the guys that they like. If you are brought in on a visit in Green Bay, and you're not one of these like the Packers bring in a ton of guys that just like end up panning out for other teams, right? So like they're just never available. So the amount of guys who are available, you know, at cutdowns, you know, for trade, things like that, practice squad poaches, isn't a very big group. And the Packers have a pretty high hit rate in terms of just like going after that guy. So Kennard was a guy I had highlighted last week in one of my articles as a guy who could potentially be on the move. For the most part, most projections had him making that 53 in Philadelphia. So it's not like he was going to be cut or anything like that. Watched all his film last night from the preseason. Played right tackle, right guard. Apparently he had been getting practice snaps at left guard too because of injury. But all of his preseason films at right guard, right tackle. I think he's going to be a guard for this team. Just kind of, you know, pretty prototype, like, maybe not prototypical, but like cliche, like he's a mauler. He's going to eat a bull rush, you know, probably don't want him at a tackle because of his feet. But if you keep him, like, he can play it in a pinch, but if you keep him inside, you're probably going to fare out a bit better. I think this tells you what the Packers think about the offensive linemen that they have competing at guard right now. I think they're looking at Jacob Monk, and they're probably realizing this is center only in games that matter. And, you know, they had a couple bad swings that kind of put them in this position, right? Travis Glover goes on IR. John Williams, you pick him in the draft, and he's, you know, on the pup list the entire camp. So, you know, this wasn't the position the team was supposed to be in on paper. And they acknowledged that they had a hole in the roster as a, you know, backup guard situation. And we're like, let's go fix that before it becomes a problem, because we're two injuries away from, you know, Jacob Monk having to play guard, and we would like to avoid that. So I think that makes a lot of sense. I think it's weird that he's in RFA next year, because he's in his fourth year in the NFL, but because one of his seasons, he spent the entire season on the practice squad, that season didn't accrue. So right. He's going to be a restricted free agent next year. If the Packers want to have him avoid free agency, they can pay him about like $3 million to do that. I doubt they'll do that. I think it's a six-round pick. It was a six, right?
He was a fourth, I think.
No. I mean the trade.
Oh, yes. A six-round pick in 2027.
So a six-round pick for a one-year rental. I mean, that's not nothing, right?
It's not. The way I view that is a couple different ways here. Number one, I always view it as like one round below if it's 2 years ahead. So it's like, to me, the equivalent, because if you were to trade for like a seventh round pick next year, you'd have to give like a sixth round pick the future year to get a seventh. So I kind of view it as like a seventh round pick next year. Also, they're probably set to get four comp picks, depending on
if they're going to get a lot of comp picks.
Yeah. So that it, not that that is just a throwaway, but they should get a lot of comp picks in that year. The other thing is that I do think it should go into the calculus of like, they get a team option, right? Like if he's good enough, if he plays well, and they want to bring it, like if all of a sudden he gets in and he looks like a starting caliber guard, well, now you have a 1 year team option at $3 million or whatever, which isn't totally nothing.
Yeah, for sure. I probably wouldn't make that trade twice. If you would have given me the option, give me two of these guys for 2 6-round picks or the Banks contract and Kennard, I probably would have taken two Kennards for a much less price for whatever that's worth. Cause I know, sure. You know, I wasn't a guy who was a big Banks or Hobbs guy, you know, last off season. I told you guys, like, I probably wouldn't have made those, but I get what the team is thinking at least. That's pretty much it. You know, there's no deal that has been made that I'm like, damn, the Packers should have done that, right?
Totally.
I will say, I can talk about, got a second source on this, so I can talk about this. The Packers have received a call for a trade for one of their wide receivers. The team that wanted to trade for a wide receiver also called about the guy the Broncos trade. What is it?
Vele. Yeah.
Yep. So they called about him. I don't think the Packers are going to trade anyone. That's just my gut check. But just want to let you guys know that's out there. I mean, at least one team was told no, right? So you guys can do the math on whose expiring contract is still available on this team and is healthy. Hint, it's not Christian Watson. I don't think the Packers are going to do it, but it's out there.
It's interesting. I do wonder if everything had gone accordingly, meaning Jaden Reed's healthy, Dontavian Wicks is healthy, Matthew Golden has gone accordingly, but Savion Williams is healthy and he looks good. And then if like Malik Heath and Mecole Hardman were both, you know, like kind of trending in the direction to like both like look like they were really good bets to make the team. And then you've got Christian Watson, which I think also Watson's probably trending the way that it would have needed to. Maybe you consider that a little bit more with some of the wide receiver stuff that's going on out there and teams being needy for wide receivers. I just think it would be really tough to trade anything at the moment when Wicks is hurt, Reed is hurt, Savion's hurt, and Heath and Hardman did not do anything to be super impressive in preseason whatsoever. I just think it probably is a non-starter for them right now.
All right. So since we listed all the names of the receivers, it's Dobbs, right? I think one of the issues too that was presented was the team trying to trade for Dobbs was like, yeah, we're in the market for a wide receiver 5. And it's like, oh, our price points are just we'll just take the comp pick next offseason, right? So that's out there. Dobbs was involved in Dobbs was involved in trade talks in the offseason. Teams are interested. Yeah. I don't think the Packers are going to move off of them, though. I think they just want to ride it out and eat the comp pick, especially with the uncertainty they have at wide receiver right now. Like, Savion Williams might be a healthy scratch to start this year.
I think so, too. It just depends on what they have at that last wide receiver spot and where they view, Savion and his development, too. I think it's really interesting. And the only way I could see it happening is if they get to the trade deadline and their receivers are healthy, but they're maybe not. I don't know, the season starts really poorly and they get a good deal for a wide receiver or something, like maybe something like that happens. But I hopefully that just does not come to fruition and they're competing at a high level and they feel like they need all those guys. Yeah. So,
or like maybe when Christian comes back, right? You're like, maybe. Okay, we have enough and Matthew Golden's proven us enough. And maybe Wicks steps up and you're just like, I don't know if we need another outside receiver. Right. So maybe that happens down the line. It doesn't sound like it's happening right now. So
yeah, if everyone's healthy and Watson looks good, Golden looks good, you've got Wicks and Reed back, and then all of a sudden you just feel comfortable with it's like Savion Williams is maybe like ready to go at that point in time, at least for wide receiver 5. Heath is your 6th or whatever. Like, yeah, you could probably do something at that time. But I think right now, like, we don't know if Wicks and Reed and Savion are even going to be healthy for week 1. And certainly Christian Watson's not going to be. So you probably need everything, like little piece of help that you can get at that spot going in to face Detroit and Washington in those first 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, for sure. I just wanted to throw that out there.
No, it's always fun. And I think it's really interesting to see.
Huber just wrote an article about, he had some conversation with Aaron Rodgers, I think, from what I could tell. I was tagged in. I didn't read the full article. I usually read Huber's stuff, but I guess Rodgers was poking Huber about if Dobbs was available. So I thought that was funny because I wrote a little note about, this whole thing that we just kind of talked about up on the site for the, I think it was the NFL cuts tracker. And people were like, oh, it was the Steelers. I was like, it wasn't the Steelers. The Steelers aren't the team I was talking about.
Yeah. Very interesting to see if anything happens. All right. That perfectly leads us in to the next topic. And this is a pretty major if there was a Josh Sitton-esque surprise tomorrow or today as people are listening to this, what would be your best guess for something that, like, literally you just looked at and are like, I can't believe they just did that? And it doesn't, by the way, I'm gonna give you an out here. It doesn't have to necessarily be a cut. Could be a player they trade for, could be a player they trade away, could be a player that they release, could be a player that they keep that you're just like, I cannot believe they just kept, I don't even know. Tyron Herring. I can't believe Tyron Herring made the roster. Like, it could be any level of surprise that you want. But like, what would potentially be a Josh Sitton level surprise that if I told you one, what would you guess it would be? We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, preseason football is already done, college football is already here, and the football season is right around the corner, and you are not going to want to miss any action this year on Prize Picks. Now, I could not be more excited about this upcoming football season, and not only should it be epic for Green Bay, but I'm looking forward to an even more epic season on Prize Picks. Now, as a fan of Green Bay, I get to cheer on my team every week, but there's a bunch of players I don't get to cheer on being a fan of just Green Bay. But with Prize Picks, I get to cheer on some of my other favorite players like Brian Thomas Jr., Ashton Jeanty, Devontae Adams. And because of that, it brings a whole different level of fun to the football season. Now, you may be new to Prize Picks, so let me break it down for you super easy. Prize Picks is incredibly simple to use. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. That's why Prize Picks already has millions of users, because it's the best place to win cash while watching sports, and there's never been a better time to sign up than today. So download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget to use that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game. It's a it's a really difficult question because
you set the bar high. Yeah, because we're talking about something that happened once a decade. Like I will say, so one thing that has been sticking in the back of my mind in recent weeks, and I haven't thought about this as like a cut down thing. It's more a bit like a how you want to construct the roster in the future type of thing. Tyrone Hopper is playing well enough that I'm starting to look at the Quay Walker situation and I'm like, oh, maybe you don't have to extend this guy at $15 million per year, which is what he's going to get. Right. So I'm like,
yep.
I mean, you have Walker under contract for one more year. If you want to get off of him, it's one way to do it to get more than like a, I don't know, comp pick. What's 15 million? It'll probably give you like a fourth round pick.
Yeah, fourth round.
Yeah. Yeah. So like if you want to get ahead of it and you want Hopper and Cooper and you just want those guys to grow together and have, you know, the combo of like McDuffie, Welch, Simmons be that third guy, like you can kind of do it. So maybe that I put that percentage at like 0.02% that will actually happen tomorrow. But an impossible thing that is no longer impossible at this point.
We talked about there, at least I talked about it yesterday of just not a trade this year, but I do think it potentially changes the thinking there of like, oh, do we really need to give a big contract to Quay, or do we have somebody at home already that's making $14 million less that could take that job next year? I do think that changes that thought process, but I'm with you. I don't think it results in a trade. The one that I had, this was a couple weeks ago, and I'm not on it anymore. I just think he's been too good as of late. You kept being on about the Ben Sims situation, right? Like Ben Sims has been, you know, added to more special teams and things like that. And Fitzpatrick has looked really, really good. I kind of toyed with the, would they trade Luke Musgrave? Like he hasn't exactly lived up to their expectations. I don't think that they are in the business of trading somebody for pennies on the dollar. I think they would rather just see if they can get what they think they can get out of him. And I think even the last couple of weeks, he's been much better. But that was just kind of rattling around a little bit of like, I wonder if like they love Kraft. Obviously, he's the one. If they think Fitzpatrick can be the two, and then Ben Sims is just worthy of the three and is going to play a bunch of teams and Musgrave's not going to do that. And some team came calling and is like, yeah, we'll give you something significant for Luke Musgrave. That was the only one that I was like, that would be semi intriguing. But again, I think we're talking about less than a 1% chance here.
I think you want him on the upswing. I think you want to showcase totally him this year and then totally hopefully do that next offseason. Cause I do think like, you're not going to be able to pay Kraft and Musgrave. I don't think you're going to be able to do that. You're not going to be able to justify it from a cap perspective. So another guy I would throw out like as a complete and total curveball, if he was healthy, would have been Jaden Reed. I just don't know how much he meshes with LaFleur's mentality on offense. Like LaFleur likes big receivers. He doesn't use small guys. And now the Packers have two kind of small guys in Golden and Reed, and Golden looks really impressive right now. So how long are you going to hold on to Reed? He's under contract for 2 more years, right? I would kind of peg him as a guy that you're probably not going to extend just because of the fit, right? Like he's only going to play 60% of your offensive snaps, but he's still going to ask for the full price of a wide receiver. Like you might have to move off of that eventually. But, you know, he's banged up, so I don't think it's relevant to this conversation.
Yeah, the wide receiver position.
Maybe trade deadline or something like that, but not
now. Yeah, wide receiver just too murky. And I think that's one of the things that you go into this 53 prediction and everything, and there's so many injuries that we just do not know the longevity of like, are they back tomorrow? Are they back week 4 or 5? Like, it's just almost impossible to kind of predict it. Yeah, I think a lot of people I'm assuming Marshawn Lloyd was a very popular IR designated to return.
Every single, all 15 out of 15.
Okay. I'm assuming Zane Anderson and Baron Sorrell were kind of the other two that alternated kind of back and forth, or what were the other ones that had?
Both of those, and then Monk. Some people had Monk as the other
Monk I played with as well.
There was a sprinkling of people having Omar Brown as the IR DFR designated to return guy. I don't think you got to have him as a designated return guy. You know, put him on IR.
Did you see the report today that he's ready to come back and like play? Like, that not only is he going to be released from the hospital, but like he's basically good to go. So good for him. That's awesome. I don't know how that changes. I mean, yeah.
Good for him. I just don't like, I don't know if he was going to make this team anyway. Like, Ketanu Ladapo was their fifth safety. Zane Anderson is ahead of Ketanu Ladapo on defense, not and special teams. Like, Anderson plays everything. Oladapo is like the super sub on everything on special teams. I don't think Omar Brown was actually going to threaten Oladapo's spot on the roster. And I find it very hard to believe that the team is going to keep six safeties, especially if they end up like Isaiah Simmons. They're going to keep six wide receivers, a lot of people think. They're going to keep six corners, a lot of people think. Like, I don't know. Like, it just doesn't make sense. So,
yeah, I'm right there with you. I do think safety is interesting in the fact that if I had to guess, I think we at home might be a little bit higher on Ketanu Ladapo than Green Bay seems. To your point, like, he's even been behind Zane Anderson. I don't know that they have like a great feel for like just. I don't have a great feel for how much they like or don't like him at this point. Like, if you said that they kept Omar Brown instead of Ketanu Ladapo, I'd be like surprised, but I wouldn't like be fall out of my chair stunned. I also think as you get to the Zane Anderson conversation, I think he's important enough on special teams, but as you get to older players that are injured and have that, you know, potential guarantee if they're on the roster, you know, I could see them maybe figuring out an injury settlement there instead. Again, I don't expect it. I expect Zane Anderson either to be on the roster or on the IR designated to return. But sometimes when you get the more surprising stuff, it's either because the injury is maybe different than what we thought, or there's a salary situation where, again, you don't want to pay guaranteed money to he's kind of the older one of the group too. So he kind of hits a lot of those boxes of things that I would normally kind of put up as red flags of like, maybe they would move on from him, but I just think his role on special teams is probably too important. And he was good at safety when he got in last year. So I don't know why you would move on.
I think all of them did well. Like, I think Oladapo did well. I think Anderson did well.
Agreed.
I'd rather see those guys get looks at safety than Javon Bullard.
Another conversation. Yeah. All right. Let's go through this. Let's just kind of go position by position. Some we probably won't need to spend too much time on. Quarterback, Jordan Love, Malik Willis. I think the question here at quarterback is the practice squad quarterback on the team, or do they go in a different direction? There are a lot of quarterbacks that have already been released, and it's not like, again, the sexiest list of quarterbacks ever. Of course not. If you're released, there's a reason why. But it's not like Sean Clifford and Taylor Algirsma also are the sexiest quarterbacks in the world to have on your roster either. Hendon Hooker from Detroit, Bailey Zappi, Kyle McCord, who was what, like a fifth-round pick for Philadelphia? Fifth or sixth-round pick for Philly?
And he threw some bad balls, let me tell you. After watching the tape on Kennard, I was like, yep, I get why you guys traded for a quarterback. Like,
yeah. He's
throwing stuff in a double coverage, getting it picked. I'm just like, nah, this ain't it.
It was not pretty. Yeah. Dorian Thompson Robinson, kind of same thing. Tyler Huntley, John Wolford, Clayton Tune is kind of an interesting one. And then Kyle Trask as well, who apparently has an injury, is probably going to have to go to figure out a settlement first and then probably sign with somebody's practice squad down the list. But for now, I put Algirsma on there on the practice squad. But where are you kind of leaning in this direction, Justice?
I have not worked on practice squad stuff. I'm not.
All right, fair enough.
Haven't done it. The only guy that moves me out of that entire group is potentially Hendon Hooker, because he was brought in on a pre-draft visit by the Packers. Again, something that's important. And he has familiarity with whatever the hell the Lions installed this offseason. And that is the Packers opponent in week one. And if you think the whole like, oh yeah, you don't sign a guy to have him just like tell secrets about his former team thing is fake. I don't know what to tell. That stuff happens all the time, man.
Yep.
So,
yeah. Even if it's just you know, there's a variety of different things. You know, whether they've done any game planning yet, which I'm sure they probably have done some, but hand signal. You said yes or no?
No, they probably haven't done game planning stuff. I mean, they're just doing like installs and things like that, I would think. I mean, I'm sure they talk about the Packers and, you know, I'm sure he lived through the experience of like their film and stuff like that and what they want to do. But I don't think they've done game planning. You usually wait for that for a while.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Yeah, I could easily see them doing something like that though. And if he does become available from a practice squad, and it sounds like Detroit just thinks he needs a change of scenery. So I don't know that they have a ton of interest bringing him back in the practice squad, but we shall see. All right. So quarterback's fairly easy. Running back feels easy. Marshawn Lloyd, IR designated to return. You keep Brooks, Wilson, Jacobs, and call it a day.
Yeah. And there's 15 projections that we have tracked. Every single one of them has the same three. And then Marshawn Lloyd going on IR. So as long as Lloyd is going on IR, it doesn't seem like there's going to be any curveballs at this one.
That seems like the safest one, that they would give him time to return, even if he's like due week two or something like that. Like, let him take it easy, get him healthy and go from there. But yeah, that seems like the most.
Because you're not exposing him to waivers. You're not, you know, you're not going to shut him down for the year. So, I mean, I guess you could do it the day after if you wanted IR two other guys, right? If it's, you know, Sorrell and Zane Anderson or something like that. But yeah, everyone assumes that he's going to end up on IR to start the season. He'll probably come back after the bye or whatever.
All right, so wide receiver, it would seem to me the conversation is, do they keep six? If they do, is it Hardman or Heath? Did anyone keep seven? And did anyone keep anyone that was Cornelius Johnson, Will Shepard, Julian Hicks, Isaiah Nay, or anything like that?
All 15 kept Malik Heath.
Wow. I'm actually
sort of, I thought was that a little bit of a surprise, because I felt like I was on Heath Island for a little bit this preseason, where I'm like, I don't know if Hardman doesn't do anything, man. They're like, it's Matt LaFleur. He's going to pick the like 210 pound receiver who can play inside, outside, and block. Like, he's just going to pick that guy, and people didn't want to hear it. But yeah, 15 people picked Malik Heath. Mecole got on two. So two of the 15 think that they're going to keep seven. The only people who think that Hardman is going to make the team all kept seven.
That's really interesting.
Again, I think that's just tough. I think that's just tough because you're talking about wide receiver seven, who will get a fully guaranteed contract, right, if he makes the team in week one, not including Christian Watson eventually bumping him to wide receiver eight, and the potential of Bo Melton bumping him to wide receiver 8.5. Do you need to guarantee that? Probably not. People just really want the Packers to have a punt returner. And I don't even think Matt even really wants to use like Jaden Reed as much as they're using him. So I don't know. I think we're just going to suck at punt returner, because we want big receivers, and small receivers are the good punt returners in this league. And guys graduate out of that very early. Like, I think Matthew Golden is probably too important to this team at this point to put him on punt return. I'm sure he would do great at it. They don't want him.
He does not look natural doing it in practice at all. He just, I don't know why. You would assume that this would be like one of the most natural, because he's got unbelievable hands. It's not like, it looks very unnatural to him. And I'm stunned by it, because everything he does looks super natural, clean, crisp, unbelievable hands. Like, if you were just to like draw up like a punt returner, like Matthew Golden, you kind of like draw up, just doesn't, I don't know. For me personally, every single time he's back there, just like, that does not look the way that it's supposed to look. Just doesn't feel comfortable at all. I don't know why. Maybe you can correct that, but I'll say this. I would not feel comfortable with Matthew Golden back there if that was the guy like returning punts on week one.
So I have a stat for you. I'm going to pull it up because I want to make sure that it's right. In college, in the 2020 season, Bo Melton had zero punt returns for 58 yards and a touchdown.
So he recovered a fumble, or he lateral, reverse?
Cross field lateral.
Okay.
From the return man, thrown to him, 58 yards and a touchdown against Ohio State. So, I don't know. Maybe they try him there, but he's been working as like a vice and stuff like that. I don't even know if they're really cross training.
No, I don't think I saw him back there once as a punt returner. The final day, it was Mecole Hardman and Keyshawn Nixon basically doing all of it. Yeah. So I wonder.
Yeah, because Reed's hurt. So like I'm not surprised. Like it's going to be a mix of Reed and Nixon, and we're probably not going to be great at it. Like it just is.
If there's a returner, like a wide receiver, like a 6'1" wide receiver, something that is a decent wide receiver that has return ability, I could see Heath getting kept on the initial, and then the day after them claiming that wide receiver, cutting Malik Heath and actually getting a returner on the roster. Yeah, Heath is kind of, to me, getting this by default for a couple different reasons. A, nobody else has really stepped up. Hardman did not do well at all in pretty much anything. And like, I think they probably would have been, if everyone was healthy, maybe just comfortable with the five guys, like all just being there, knowing that you're going to get Watson back as the sixth and probably not even needing Malik Heath. But when you've got three of the five top guys that are banged up at the moment and you don't know what that looks like in week one, I think he just kind of gets on by default. But if there was a actual option to maybe replace him and get a returner out of it too, I could see that being the case on the very next day. I don't have a name though.
The big thing is like Wicks and Savion Williams, like neither of them contributing on the kick return team as a blocker, and you need blockers, and you just didn't have the time to even float that out as a possibility because they've been hurt all camp. So
good point.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk tight end. This also, well, I guess not, because the Sims thing is interesting. So Swinson, Lumpkin, very much seem like see you later. It looks like Musgrave, Kraft, obviously 1 and 2. Fitzpatrick, by all accounts, seems to be the number three. And then I know you have Ben Sims making it as the fourth tight end. What was kind of the breakdown there on your tracker?
15s for the first three. So 100% make the team. And then Ben Sims is like a true 50-50. Seven people had him making it. I have him making it. I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers looked at the waiver wire on the second day and added another tight end who's a little bit more dynamic. I don't think they're committed to Ben Sims. I think they like the idea of having another tight end to help them on kick return and punt protection, stuff like that. One guy I would pay attention to, Josh Wiley. Do you remember Josh Wiley, the tight end from Purdue?
Yep.
So he was well-liked coming out of the NFL draft, came on a visit with the Green Bay Packers. He's more of a pass catcher than anything else. He's like 6'7" or something like that. Doesn't contribute that much on special teams. So I don't know how much the Packers would value his potential there, but they did have him on a pre-draft visit. He is very much a roster bubble player with the Tennessee Titans. They just grabbed Gunnar Helm, kind of displaced him a little bit on the depth chart. They don't know if they're going to keep four, all that stuff. So he might be available. The Packers might be interested. He's one of the few roster bubble players that I'm actually kind of paying attention to. If you see him get waived tomorrow, just had that little alert go up.
Joel Wilson was a tight end on the roster last year.
I saw him. Yeah. He was in Chicago. He led Chicago in like receptions or something like that in the preseason. He's another possibility. I just think, if guys are getting waived on Monday or like the news is coming out, like they were so far away from making that roster, the Packers
usually
probably aren't super interested. Like maybe he's more of like a practice squad type of guy for them.
Very much so. No, I'm totally.
Yeah, he was in Green Bay for two years, I think.
You might be right. You might be right.
I think he was like half a season and then a camp is so like a full year, but over 2 years.
That makes sense. Anything else at tight end? What's your like sort of explanation on Ben Sims? Just mostly special teams?
For the most part, yeah. He's playing multiple units. They try to get him a little bit more in as like a punt rusher and stuff like that toward the end of the preseason, which kind of to me is a hint that they're like, yo, let's try to figure this thing out. How many snaps can this guy really eat for us on special teams? And that's usually a signal that a guy is going to make the team. So that's really what it boils down to for me. Again, I don't want to go on the special teams rant for the 15th time, but kick return, we have hit make special teams more important button twice in two off seasons. I don't know how many touchbacks we're going to get. So these plays that used to be just basically dead plays, right? Are now super active plays, and the NFL has not expanded rosters. If the NFL had 80-man rosters, we would probably see 10 linebackers and 10 tight ends go against each other on the kickoff and kickoff return team with a returner and a kicker on the field, right? But because we have 48-man rosters, we have to do all this like weird, goofy stuff. We've completely eliminated offensive linemen and defensive linemen, I should say defensive tackles, from playing on the kick return team. That wasn't the case before the dynamic kickoff, right? Packers famously had that return against them from Dan Conley from the Patriots. Dan Conley wouldn't be on the field on the kickoff team anymore. It just doesn't happen at the NFL level. It's not even just a Packers thing. Mike Daniels got his start in the NFL with the Packers, played on kickoff. That doesn't happen anymore, right? So things have shifted away from linemen. Things have shifted away from defensive backs, and it's all shifted toward, you know, these tight end, linebacker, defensive end type of bodies. So I just think ideally they would like to keep four, whether it ends up being Ben Sims or someone on waivers.
Yeah, and I could easily see waivers being the case there as well. That I mentioned, you know, I think a punt returner, tight end, offensive lineman, corner would be the four positions that they could potentially look at in waivers and be legitimately interested in.
I kind of think that they're cool at corner. Okay. I think they're kind of cool at offensive line unless Monk is going on IR. If Monk is going on IR, we got to find a backup center. Because I'm sure, you know, Tom can get reps there. Ryan can kick in, but I'm sure that's not the ideal situation they want to run into.
Maybe Jersey Al is right then. Maybe Lasita Smith does make the team as the backup center in that scenario.
I don't know if it's going to be him. I'm thinking probably waiver wire if Monk isn't making this team, but we'll see.
Okay. Let's go to offensive line. You've obviously got Walker, Banks, Jenkins, Ryan, Tom, Belton, Morgan, and now Kennard as what seems like your locks of your top eight. What were kind of the breakdowns of anything after that?
Yeah, so we had, so Monk was on 11, but he was on IR for four, right?
Okay.
You're going to see this kind of repeat itself when we talk about Zane Anderson and Sorrell, where it's like everyone has him making the team in some form or fashion. Just no one knows who the second IR guy is going to be. Kennard was only on 10, but that's because there's only been 10 that have been updated since Kennard got on. Donovan Jennings was on 5. Kadeem Telfort was on 4. And I'm going to mess up this name every single time. Smith was on 1. So it's kind of split down the middle, whether you think it's Jennings or Telfort. And then shout out Jersey Al if he gets this one right with Smith.
Yeah, I did not have Telfort or Jennings on either.
I don't 53. Either.
I don't have him on the practice squad either. That's where I'm at with Kadeem Telfort and Donovan Jennings. I think like I'm a pretty big believer in like you get your opportunity, and once you prove that, you know, you've got that opportunity, you prove like, yep, they weren't ready for it, they can't do it or whatever, I think you almost kind of move on. Like I could see them taking like Brandt Banks and you know, a couple of like Tyler Cooper and saying like, we're going to try to develop them instead and see if they can make something out of those, because we gave Donovan Jennings 2 years, Kadeem Telfort 3 years, and it didn't do anything. And it's time to go in a different direction. Yeah. So we'll see.
I wouldn't mind it. Yeah. They didn't have good summers. So
they did not. They had a lot of opportunity and did not make the most of it at all. Would it stun you if Jacob Monk was not on this roster in any capacity, meaning IR designated to return or on the 53? I don't think it would stun me.
Man, to protect yourself and not have your ass out, right? I think you would have to make a trade for a center before cutdowns.
Okay.
Like if they do that, sure, why not? But if they're not going to do that, I don't think you can expose. I don't think you can go into waivers and just like not have a plan at backup center.
Fair. Unless LaCeeda Smith is the guy, but no, yeah, I have him on the 53. That's where I have Monk, but he's an interesting one. He's a very interesting one. He did not also step up to the opportunity before he got hurt. I still think there's enough talent there that you keep him. Just tough to tell right now with the injury, if it's a IR thing or if it's actually staying on the 53 and maybe just misses a couple weeks or something like that. Yeah. All right, defensive end, Rashawn Gary, LVN, Enagbare. I'm assuming Brenton Cox made it for just about everyone. And then the Baron Sorrell situation, like you said, either on the active or on IR designated to return. And then do we have any Aaron Mosby stands? Did anyone have Colin Oliver actually on the 53?
No one had Colin Oliver on the 53. Everyone had him on the PUP. Baron Sorrell was a 12-3 split, whether he was on the 53 or on IR. Six people had Aaron Mosby. I think most of them, at least, well, I guess it's like, yeah, I mean, it's a three split. Half of them had him making the team only in the case that he started on IR. A lot of people, too, did the whole, yeah, Sorrell is going to make this team, and then one day later, he ends up going on IR. So you get the third guy on and stuff. That's what I had, too. I think that makes sense. I mean, the Packers should get as many guys on IR as possible, keep control of these contracts.
No, that makes sense too. Did Brenton Cox go 15 for 15?
He did go 15 for 15. Yeah, I think the Sorrell thing just changed the whole dynamic of the defensive end room, where it's like, all right, if Sorrell is out, then Cox has to make this team, right? If there's any question about Sorrell, because you're already down Colin Oliver.
The weird thing is, like, I'm cheering against Colin Oliver being activated this week now. Like, just keep him on the PUP list. There's no reason to take him
off.
They
got it, right?
You would think so.
It would be to just control as many contracts as you can.
Yeah.
That's the name of the game. Why are we pulling guys off of injury lists? Let's
keep him on.
Let's have options as we go into the season. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like he's going to come in and make a huge impact the first month of the season anyway. So keep him on the PUP list. And then activate him for those 3 weeks that you can activate him for to just practice with the team. And then after that, in like week eight, get him up there and see what he can do or whatever. But yeah, I would be against taking him off. Yeah, I mean, there's no sense in doing it at this point. Defensive tackle. I think this is the really interesting one. Clark Wyatt, you said Wooden, two people did not have. I'm assuming everyone had Brooks. And then I'm curious the Brinson and Stackhouse breakdowns. We'll be right back. Hey friends, not to get too sentimental on you here, but Labor Day is always an extra special weekend for me as it gives me a chance to hang out and relax with my family right before the madness of football season. The weekend with the kids, throwing the football in the backyard, grilling up dinner, it means even more to me now that my kids are getting older. That's why this year I didn't mess around and I ordered some steaks directly from Omaha Steaks. They're amazingly tender, juicy steaks for this upcoming weekend that I'm legitimately thinking about already. Now, I've had Omaha Steaks on numerous occasions and there's nothing better to throw on the grill than their USDA certified tender steaks that are melt in your mouth delicious. And the best part is they are currently having their Labor Day sale, so you can get 50% off site wide on omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $35 off with promo code Packaday at checkout. Trust me, take them up on this offer, use the code Packaday, and get some of their grass-fed, grain-finished beef, and just wait until you see the marbling on these things. It is unbelievable. So get fired up for fall and get fired up for grilling with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Labor Day sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. See site for details. What are you waiting for?
People cannot get enough of these Georgia Bulldogs. Andy Brinson made 15 of 15. Stackhouse made 10 of 15. So yeah. 2/3 of people think both Georgia Bulldogs are going to make this team. I can't remember if my condition was they keep six defensive tackles or they keep both Georgia Bulldogs.
It was keep six.
I was going to say that stipulation is going to might have to come in handy when I'm eating this hat. I just still think it's going to be tough from a roster construction standpoint to keep all these guys. One guy to watch at defensive tackle. I'm spacing on his name. Christian Boyd.
Oh yeah, the former defensive tackle was a former fifth round pick.
Yep. So he's on the roster bubble in New Orleans. He is a giant athletic defensive tackle. He's bigger than Brinson. He's, you know, basically Stackhouse's size, but he, you know, runs pretty well. So he's a guy that, you know, Green Bay might be interested in from a, you know, waiver claim standpoint. He hasn't been available to them since the draft. He was picked 199 last year. So if the Packers felt like they were kind of pushed in the corner and had to take a defensive tackle, you know, nose tackle type, because they didn't know what they had in Wooden, you know, maybe a Brinson makes it on day one and then they swap him out for Boyd, who still has 3 years on his contract and stuff, on day two. So
sixth round pick, by the way, sixth round, not fifth round. That's my bad. Yes. But, yeah, interesting player. And I could see them potentially having some interest there as well. I went with you in the end. I don't think Stackhouse was good enough in the preseason. Let me ask you this. How in depth do teams go when the pro personnel department are breaking down Nasir Stackhouse as a potential waiver claim? My guess is they're watching preseason tape. They're not going and reading tweets from beat writers all that much and be like, oh, Nasir Stackhouse had another, you know, big game. They might know about it, but I think they put a lot more faith in what they saw on tape in preseason than some of the training camp stuff, right? He did not have a good enough preseason to really be claimed by anyone for a guy that went undrafted by literally every single team in a seven round draft. I think he easily gets back to the practice squad.
Yeah. I mean, the only worry I would have is he just decides to sign with someone else's practice squad.
Which is possible.
Right? I'm not worried about a team claiming him. That's not
my hope. I'm going to put my faith in Green Bay was the team that initially picked him up, gave him some roster money. And he's got like seven Georgia Bulldog teammates on his team in Green Bay, including the defensive tackle right next to him in Warren Brinson. So I'm hoping that maybe there's enough connections there that he wants to stay with his Georgia Bulldog friends and come back to the practice squad in Green Bay. That's my hope there.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll help in practice and stuff, just having that big body and all that.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It wouldn't stun me if they had six, but to me, I think he gets back on the practice squad. I think they keep the five obvious ones in Clark, Wyatt, Wooden, Brooks, and Brinson. You talk me into it. And more than anything, I just ultimately wasn't super impressed by Stackhouse, actually. But we'll see. He's a fun player. He's got the great size. I think he can develop, but I just think he can do it on the practice squad. Linebacker, Quay Walker, Cooper, Hopper, McDuffie. I'm assuming everyone went 15 for 15 on those four. And then you get to the Simmons-Welch conversation. Where do you go in that situation? Keeping both?
So after the Kennard trade, because I had the Packers going with eight, not keeping anyone after Monk, right? And then using Sorrell as that like waiver pickup, you know, piece that you can put on IR the next day. I had to use a ninth lineman spot and I had to cut somebody. And I'm looking at these list of players and I'm like, which one do I want to get rid of? And it was Isaiah Simmons, man. So I just went with Christian Welch on the hopefully last 53 man roster projection I made. Simmons made 10 of the 15. Welch made 8 of the 15. So Welch is closer to a true 50-50. It seems like people think Simmons is going to make the team. No one seems excited about Simmons. It's just like, yeah, he was just super high in the rotation. And I just wonder if like push comes to shove and they're just, you know, think about it a little bit more realistically and are like, we don't want either of these guys really to play defense this year.
No,
and Welch does more on special teams, right? We talked about how Simmons kind of plays these DB roles, which like, you know, Malik Heath is going to help at that, right? You're going to keep probably five safeties depending on what the Zane Anderson situation is. You're probably going to keep five or six cornerbacks. Like, do you need another one of these guys active on your 48-man roster? And if not, what's the point? Don't you need more bodies at, you know, tight end, D end, linebacker? And that's where Christian Welch is going to help. So that's what did it for me. That's what I think. I'm sure. I mean, I was down this road last year. I was like, yeah, Welch made the team. Nope. Wrong. So can't wait to be disappointed again.
Brian Gutekunst, I went back and listened to that press conference. Well, I didn't listen to the press conference. I was looking for audio clips for my radio show, if I'm being honest. And I came across the one where he was talking about Christian Welch of like that he should have like made the team and they just had more than 53 players. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard to look him in the eye and be like, you did everything you should have to make this team. And we just still couldn't keep you. You could tell that they really liked him. I don't know if they're going to do that to him twice in a row.
I mean, this offseason, Brian, I think it was at what the owners, I think it was owners meetings. Maybe it was post draft. He was like, we kind of really got put in a pickle by only having 5 off ball linebackers. And, you know, they've talked about Colin Oliver as a potential guy who could practice at both. He's not practicing at all right now. So,
nope.
You know, if you keep Simmons, you're only at 5. You know, if you keep Welsh only at 5, maybe they keep 6. I could be wrong, but I just don't think Simmons has done enough to make this team.
I want you to put your Rich Bisaccia hat on for a moment. You can have, you get your choice between, you can choose 2 of 3. And it's just a pure special teams decision. Does it, the offense, defense doesn't matter. You get your choice. You have Christian Welch, Isaiah Simmons, and Ben Sims. You can keep 2 of 3. Which ones are you keeping?
I would keep, honestly, the answer, Mosby. I'd rather keep, I'm keeping Welch and Mosby, and we'll figure something out on waivers with the tight end, and I don't need Isaiah Simmons. That's what I would think. The other thing, too, is like Simmons' big thing is that he's a punt gunner, but they're practicing with a lot of different guys at these punt gunner positions, man. Like, if Corey Ballantyne makes this team, he's still going to play punt gunner. Like, you still want Bo Melton as a punt gunner.
Yeah.
I don't think the snaps matter enough for Simmons on special teams.
Okay. I ultimately kept Simmons, Welch, and I had Aaron Mosby making the team as well. So I did Rich Bisaccia a lot of favors trying to keep some special teams guys for him. I thought there is some opportunity with just some of the injuries right now to maybe keep a couple of those special teams guys, but those are some of the really interesting conversations. Let's get to our last couple here. Corner, you got Nixon, Hobbs, Valentine. Did Melton go 15 for 15, I'm assuming?
He did.
Okay. And then you get to the Haddon, King, Ballantyne, Micah Robinson conversation. Where did those four end up on, from a number standpoint?
Kalen King was on 13.
Okay.
I think that's probably right. I think he's earned himself a spot on this team after the last 2 preseason games, I would say. Ballantyne is at 7. So that's about, you know, a 50-50 split. Kamal Haddon had 4. And Micah Robinson, 0.0.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, most people seem to believe that they're going to keep 6, but there are some people that have them just keeping 5, and for the most part, they're just keeping King in those situations.
I'm not going to lock it in, but I think Kamal Haddon makes this team. I actually feel slightly – I'm probably overconfident in that. I think Kamal Haddon makes it, and I think he would make it over – King, Ballantyne, or obviously Micah Robinson, but I think he actually makes it over King. I just think there's more value in outside corners. Both Ballantyne and Kalen King have been primarily slot corners in over the last like year. And I just think like they have Keyshawn, Hobbs, maybe even Melton who can play in the slot and obviously Bullard. I think getting an actual outside corner that can go in there in certain situations is going to be very valuable to them. And I think Kamal Haddon is the next guy up as an outside corner. And yeah, I think that's going to have a lot of value.
I could be wrong and I could have egg on my face. I had King and Ballantyne making this team. My rationale for the most part was just Ballantyne hasn't forgotten what he knew at outside corner, right? From last year.
True.
I use him in the slot more. So he's a little bit more versatile than Haddon. He's still doing all the special team stuff and played over Haddon when they had Haddon on the practice squad last year. So I think he's got the edge on defense and the edge on special teams. I understand he's on a 1-year contract and he's not cost controlled and all this stuff like Haddon would be. I just kind of think that they like him a little bit better. And when you're doing things like trading a 6th round pick so that you're not screwed 2 injuries away at guard, right? I think you want the best players to make the roster. You're beyond the point of really trying to like go out your way and develop guys. You know, that's what the summer was for, right? And if you didn't prove it, then we'll take our chances on the practice squad. So that's just been my mentality making these lists, if that makes sense.
No, it totally does. To me, the way I looked at it is they would keep one outside guy, one slot guy. And maybe, again, if you view Ballantyne as an outside guy, then you met that criteria.
I just think he's gotten those. Like, he's started like 7 games for this team, and he's basically only played outside corner for him up till this summer. And now he's, you know, getting looks as a slot. So I don't know. That's just my move on it.
Totally fair. Safety, McKinney, Williams, Bullard, Oladapo, Zane Anderson, probably IR or on the roster. And you said there was a couple, maybe Omar Brown stands.
Yeah. So Zane, 12 people had Zane making the team, 3 had him on IR, but he's making the team in some form or fashion, no matter what. Right. So all of the top 5, and then 2 people had Omar Brown. I don't think that's happening. I think if he goes on IR, it's season ending IR, and they just shut him down, keep him around the team, have him go at it next year. I don't think he's done enough to warrant one of those 2 designated to return spots.
Yeah, I think that's totally true. I think he probably, if he is healthy enough, I think he ends up back in the practice squad, and he'd be a really nice practice squad player for you. Specialists, Brandon McManus, Danny Whelan, Matt Orzech, those should be pretty simple. Pup, Colin Oliver, Christian Watson, John Williams, IR designated to return. Obviously, we've talked about the different options that they have there. And then Travis Glover, Keith Randolph on IR. I think that pretty much kind of covers it.
Yep. That's for the most part what people have. Yeah, I tweeted it out earlier. Let me pull up my tweet. The real debate about this roster is you basically pick 6 of these 10 players, okay? Mecole Hardman, Ben Sims, Aaron Mosby, Kobe Wooden, Nasir Stackhouse, Isaiah Simmons, Christian Welch, Kalen King, Corey Ballantyne, Kamal Haddon.
Okay.
6 of those 10 make the team, right? And that's, for the most part, what the conversations about this roster are right now.
Yeah, I think that feels totally right. Do you have your 53 available?
I do. Yeah.
All right. Let's just run through ours really, really quick, just so we can have them for, obviously, go check out Acme Packing Company. Justice has got everyone's tracked out there and is obviously accumulating them all together. And it's really kind of fun to take a look at. Here's my 53. Quarterback, Jordan Love and Malik Willis. Running back, Josh Jacobs, Chris Brooks, Emmanuel Wilson. Wide receiver, Dobbs, Golden, Reed, Wicks, Savion Williams, and Malik Heath. Tight ends, 3, Kraft, Musgrave, and Fitzpatrick. Offensive line, Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Elton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, Zach Tom, Jordan Morgan, Anthony Belton, Darian Kennard, and Jacob Monk. Defensive ends, Gary, LVN, Enigbare, Cox, Sorrell, and Aaron Mosby. Defensive tackles, Clark, Wyatt, Wooden, Brooks, and Brinson. Linebackers, Walker, Cooper, Hopper, McDuffie, Simmons, and Welch. So I'm keeping 6 there. 6 corners, Nixon, Hobbs, Ballantyne, Melton, Haddon, and King. 4 safeties, McKinney, Williams, Bullard, and Oladapo. McManus, Whelan, and Orzech on special teams. I have Colin Oliver, Christian Watson, and John Williams on the pup list. Marshawn Lloyd and Zane Anderson, IR designated to return, and then Travis Glover and Keith Randolph on IR.
Yep. So our differences are the Simmons and Sims conversation that we had.
Yeah.
I went with Ben Sims, you went Isaiah Simmons, and then the Haddon and Ballantyne spot. Okay. So that's where we variate. Otherwise, 51 of 51.
That's crazy. That's actually pretty crazy and incredible that we had it that close. So the debate comes down to, if everything else is right, it comes down to what? I have Simmons and Haddon. You have Ballantyne and Sims.
Yep.
All right.
That's it. And Sims, again, is a guy that I'm like, I don't know. Like, he might be here for a day.
Yeah, they could easily replace it. But I get, you know, I'll even give you just a 4th tight end. I'll give you any 4th tight end. So you have Corey Ballantyne and any 4th tight end, and I'll take Haddon and Isaiah Simmons.
Cool.
That's good. The bet. We got nothing on the line, but that's going to be the bet for bragging rights moving forward. All right. Final thoughts before we get out of here.
Just a couple guys to keep an eye on waiver wire wise. Sure. I think I brought up a couple of them. Tight end Josh Wiley, defensive tackle Christian Boyd. Another interesting guy who's on the bubble right now, Marty Mapu from the Patriots. He was a former top 100 pick in 2023. He is kind of like a better version of Isaiah Simmons. He is, you know, the safety convert to linebacker. Obviously, they've gone through front office changes and coaching changes in New England over the past couple of years. Hey, who's the Patriots defensive coordinator last year?
Oh, yeah, the DeMarcus Covington.
Oh, our defensive line coach. That's really interesting. Yeah. The Saints have another one, safety Jordan Howden. He's a roster bubble guy. The Packers, I know for a fact, were interested in him. All these guys are Packers pre-draft visit guys, by the way. I know for a fact the Packers were interested in him. I had talked to a buddy in the league, and he was like, yeah, we have Howden circled as like a potential Packer, just from a, you know, intel, how you do mock drafts, yeah, all that stuff, because they do mock drafts standpoint. So I think they like him on special teams. If Zane Anderson is a guy who goes on injured reserve, I think that that would be potentially a waiver pickup. I don't think they're going to add a safety unless Zane Anderson goes on IR. I don't think they're going to get rid of him, and I think they can't really afford to keep more than five. That's what it boils down to. Last guy, Del Pettis, who they brought in on a visit, undrafted rookie last year. He's a roster bubble guy this year. He was actually a starter for the Patriots last season, and they're just kind of in a weird spot with their whole safety room. A lot of guys got banged up last year, gave a lot of younger guys opportunities. Now it's sort of a logjam at the safety position. There's rumors that, you know, they're going to trade. Who's the high-priced guy?
For which team?
Patriots safety. I'll pull it up right now.
Kyle Duggar.
Yeah, Duggar. Duggar. So there's trade rumors with Duggar right now. Like, if they can unload him, you know, maybe there's a better chance that they could keep a Pettis or something like that. But if there's a logjam, you know, he might be one of the more talented guys on that Patriots roster that they have to end up getting rid of. And again, DeMarcus Covington, our defensive line coach, was his defensive coordinator last year. We've seen how this stuff happens, right? Like, how many former Raiders does Passaccia need, right? Like, I bet Covington is probably going to vouch for both Mapu and Pettis. So Josh Wiley at the tight end, Christian Boyd, the defensive tackle, Marty Mapu, the linebacker, Jordan Howden, the safety, and Del Pettis, the safety. I don't really think the safeties are really going to be in the mix unless Anderson goes on IR, but take that for what it's worth.
I think that makes a ton of sense. The Patriots connection is, I think, one really to keep an eye on with Covington. And yeah, Marpu's an interesting one. If he becomes available, and maybe they could do, again, either him instead of Simmons. I don't know if they would do him instead of Welch, but that could potentially be something that they look at. I'd be all for that. He was an interesting one coming out, just even trying to get, at the time, some of the tape of him was difficult to get.
He played at Sac State. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was tough.
He played at Sac State. Christian Boyd was at Northern Iowa. Like, some of these guys are some small school guys.
Very much so. Justice, I can't wait to see how this ends up, what the initial 53 looks like. And then, of course, it'll change a billion times throughout the course of the season. It's one of those like weird rite of passages where you've got thousands of guys losing their jobs. The initial 53 doesn't really mean a whole heck of a lot of anything. And yet at the same time, like, we're all very, very excited just to see what it looks like and who actually makes it. So it's just that weird juxtaposition. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing what the roster looks like, even though it's going to change a million times over.
Yeah, I'm ready for it to just be settled. I'm excited. Agreed. I've been, because the entire preseason, right? I mean, we've basically only gotten a look at these bottom end of the roster guys. Like, how many carries did Josh Jacobs get this entire summer? I don't
one or two. Yeah, one or two. Not many, right, to say the least.
So I know people busting my balls about, like, why are you guys talking about special teamers? Well, it's like, well, we're not evaluating the offense right now because those guys aren't playing. So that's what I'm doing with my time in the preseason, because at least I can make use of it.
They're not playing the players that are going to play and not running the plays that are going to get run. So it's very difficult to make anything more than that. So yeah, special teams and figuring out what guys are going to make the 53 is what this time of year is definitely for. Justice, I cannot thank you enough. Sincerely, all the time, effort, and energy that you put in, not just to accumulating 53s, but special team snaps and all the unique insights that you have had into this. I know it certainly helped me a ton as I was putting together my 53 prediction. And it's why mine is going to go 53 for 53 and yours is going to go 51 and 53. But no, I'm looking forward to seeing where we compare and what we get right, what we get wrong. And hopefully more than anything, the Packers put together a really fun 53-man roster for this upcoming season. Tell us where we can find your incredible work, my friend.
Yeah, acmepackingcompany.com. Again, we got every tracker. I'm doing people's 53-man roster projections. If you're listening to this early enough that the Packers haven't already announced who they're going to get rid of, by the way, the Packers, if you think this is going to get done early, Andy, I know you know this, like, they're announced after the deadline. Like,
yep.
Some teams are going to, like, know, you know, some people who are fans of these teams are going to know who's on their 53 pretty early in the morning on Tuesday. Packers fans are not among them. Packers fans will not know until probably, like, what's the deadline? 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock. Central? Well, here, I have a pop quiz for you. What time did Sir Wes Hodkiewicz, it was 3 p.m. Central time was the deadline. What time did Sir Wes Hodkiewicz release the roster last year on Packers.com?
Ooh, I think he did it. He got it up like right after. Cause they use like, they, it's been hours. Like it's been hours. Like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Like I think he did it pretty quick last year.
Last year was 3:09 p.m. last year. So it did not take too long after the deadline last year. Hopefully, and obviously that's not a Wes, commentary please. On Wes.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Wes has no say over it whatsoever until they actually get him the stuff. But, you know, hopefully Wes has got it coming out right around that time again this year. So we don't have too much time to wait for.
Yeah. So don't think that this is going to get done early. If you want to track the news of the day, usually a lot of the beat writers, like, you know, guys like Ryan Wood and, you know, Silverstein and stuff, they'll get bits and pieces. They won't get the full thing. Right. But we'll have the tracker up for that. I'll have a tracker up for, you know, league-wide cuts and stuff like that. So if, you know, Josh Wiley or Christian Boyd, Marty Mapu, these guys that we talked about become available, it's like, alert, go time. This is a possibility. You might want to learn who this guy is because you might sign with the Packers tomorrow. You know, potentially other notable stuff. Like Audric Estime is apparently going to get waived. He was like a fifth-round pick running back last year. I really liked him. He's a big guy. He's dealt with some injury stuff. Like, I think he got like infused plasma cells or something crazy like that, like injected into his knee. So I have no idea about his medical, as you could tell by how bad I probably butchered that description of whatever procedure he ended up having. But he was certainly talented at Notre Dame, and he's a 21-year-old, and he was a guy that a lot of people had going top 100 if it wasn't for injury stuff. So a possibility for the team.
Just because I have it up, there's really no like weird surprises on the initial 53 last year. Love and Willis at quarterback, Jacobs, Lloyd, and Wilson at running back, Dobbs, Watson, Reed, Wicks, Heath, and Melton at wide receiver, Musgrave, Kraft, Sims at tight end, Jenkins, Myers, Walker, Tom, Morgan, Sean Ryan, Andre Dillard, Jacob Monk, Kadeem Telford, Travis Glover on the offensive line, Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, LVN, Enagbare, Brenton Cox, Aaron Mosby, Kenny Clark, TJ Slayton, Wyatt, Brooks, and Wooden, Quay, McDuffie, Eric Wilson, Cooper, and Hopper, Jair, Stokes, Nixon, Valentine, McKinney, Bullard, Evan Williams, Zane Anderson, Oladapo, Daniel Whelan, Matt Orzech. The craziest thing might be Greg Joseph. And that changed the next day with Braden Narveson or whatever. So it was really a pretty straightforward 53 last year. I think it could be something similar this year.
I forgot Mosby made the 53 outright last year.
He did. Stayed on the team the entire time.
Yeah. That was probably the biggest upset was they kept Mosby instead of Welch, right? And both of them are.
Yes.
Pretty much. I mean, people keep talking about like how many special teamers, all this stuff. Like for the most part, these guys are making the team because of offense or defense. I think the two exceptions are probably Welch and Mosby. Like those are guys who are coming here to play special teams. Maybe Simmons, depending, like, I don't know what the coaching staff thinks of Simmons. It seems like they're treating him like a 27-year-old position convert, even though he's been in the league for this long. But
yeah, no, I totally agree. All right, Follow Acme Packing Company all day long. They're going to have you covered for everything you need to know on every cut down, every little update, etc. You can find obviously us at the Pack a Day podcast, him at JUMOSQ on Twitter. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for us today. Enjoy your initial 53-man roster day, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.